us Redeemer and Friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Some of our church family went to a prayer weekend that was up at Leone Meadows, and I would like to hear from them. It seems like we have all kinds of people going all places right now. We have people in Greece, we have kids back east, but just this last weekend we had a group that went to the prayer conference. So Judy, could you get your people and the people who went with you to come on up? Because we'd like to hear a little bit about what God did at the prayer weekend. you got one. Purple mic, please. Thank you. We sprung this on our sound people, so. All right. Well, could you tell us briefly, quickly, Judy, what it was about? And then I'd love to hear from the ones who are willing to share something God did for you. Just briefly, something God did for you last weekend.
Thank you.
And here comes Cece.
Yes, we're so glad. We're so glad. It was Dr. David Levy, a Jewish doctor who was our speaker for the weekend. And he is such a man of God. It was such a blessing to sit at his feet and hear the God speak through him. And there was also such a wonderful prayer time in the mornings. It was like popcorn prayer happening for the hour of worship, the first morning of the first session of the morning. And it was just a wonderful time praising God and having promises. We were praying and praying for requests and praises, and it was just so exciting. Who's next?
Who would like to share what something God did for you?
This there, was Leonie
we got a
Meadows.
Hand reaching right there. Did
Leonie
I say
Meadows? I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. I think I did. All right.
I'm Cecilia. And I was really blessed. I didn't know if I wanted to go until someone asked me, Elaine. And I had been to one a month before that, and I didn't get as excited as I did this one. I'm not a stair climber, and I was praying a week before we went up there, and I, by the grace of the Lord, I was able to climb stairs by the help of my sister, Crystal McMahon. She found a way for me to go up and down those stairs, and she helped me with my walker to go up and down the stairs. And it was a little difficult, but the Lord saw me through. My favorite part was when we came in and had prayer at the fireside room, and I think they called it popcorn prayer. And there were other people from other churches that prayed. And it just, I wasn't feeling well the second day. And the Lord touched me. His spirit gave me excitement. And I'm going to tell you, you need to be there. You need to just come there just to get the joy from the Lord.
Amen.
And I was very touched. There were other things that happened. But I'm just going to save it for you to come there next
That's
year.
That's right. You got to. You gotta know. By the way, they only allow ladies there, of course?
No.
Oh, really? Gentlemen, what happened to us?
First of all, church, I'd like to say thank you for praying for me with my collision. And this past year, do you ever feel like easy's getting harder every day? It is. And we don't know what struggles everyone else goes through unless you really know what's going on in a person's life. And 5 years ago, I was in a major accident where I fell from 5.5 feet, and I have not been able to feel the whole left side of my head, my face, down the left side of my body. Exacerbated with the collision that occurred in December to me, it just re-smashed that area in, and I was starting to have difficulties and paralysis of swallowing. I had swelling on the left side of my head, and I wasn't even going to go to the prayer ministry weekend because I have a clot in the left side of my leg. And in this course, the physicians are questioning me, how are you moving? How are you getting around with a vitamin deficiency of 15? You're having all kinds of neurological issues. And they're asking questions about a God in heaven because that's what I refer them to. Have you ever heard of a God in heaven, I say? And so, anyway, over the weekend, Debbie came to me and said, Stephanie, be anointed. And I said, Debbie, I've been anointed. I've done the anointings. I've asked God to heal me, and I'm okay without the healing, and I'm okay taking the pain, and I'm okay accepting whatever it is, as long as it is a testimony to Jesus and his power of a high, powerful, living God in heaven. And so, but I agreed. I agreed to go and be anointed. And in this anointing session was Del Dunavant from our conference, and Judy, and Elaine, and one other lady by the name of Wavon Gabries. And she said, I have much connection to Lodi. And so they prayed over me and they asked God to heal my leg and to heal my head and to heal my back and all the injuries that I have had sustained. And do you know that after 5 years, now God released the pressurization in my head. I'm able to chew. I'm able to swallow without choking at every meal. And I have not had the pain in the facial or in the head since that time. I still have the clot.
Amen.
I still have the weakness in the left side of my body, but no pain. And do you know, prayer is where it's at, people. Prayer is where it's at. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And if we don't have that connection, and if we don't see in our personal lives a living God in heaven who is doing things in our lives and even using us to help other people, I could stand here and tell you story after story, but of how God uses us. And even yesterday, somebody that I ran into just in an appointment, Indian woman who needed to know of a pastor who was Hindu or Indian oriented, and I was able to connect her with a pastor in Ceres where she lived. So God is doing things, and we want to hear more about what God is doing in your lives for testimonies from week to week. And so we just praise God that even though easy is getting harder every day, He gives us the strength to I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4:13.
Amen.
Well, two things happened for me. Pastor Levy was a wonderful speaker, and he spoke a lot about forgiveness. And he had us all recite a prayer with him, releasing those who have hurt us. And it was a very powerful prayer. And I just mentally listed the people that have hurt me in my life, and it really released me. I feel free from all of that. Oh, it was wonderful. And the Lord blessed me with a new friend in Stephanie, and it was a beautiful weekend, and I hope all of you can go next time.
Praise the name of the Lord. It was a beautiful miracle that I went, and the Lord, He says, wait, don't rush. And then I wait. And I was invited.
Amen.
Miracles waiting. And then before that I leave, He says, take the 4 bloody wounds. And I want to confess among you that the Lord has to tell me 3 times, take the bloody wound book with you. And as a matter of fact, I gave one to Pastor. And then I took it and was to give it to the great speaker, Jewish, yes. And I explained him to about the Rabbi Kaduri's is a prophecy, Rabbi Kaduri's 2014, July 27th. That is something that, you know, the Lord is preparing the Jewish people for the coming of Jesus. And I explained him too that the Lord, Rabbi Kaduris has connection with the Lord, who is born again. And he says, make a letter, write down a letter to be opened a year after you die. And then when that happened, they open up the letter. It says to the Jew, your Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Uh-huh. Yes.
And then and the sign that he's coming is when Ariel Sharon, he passed away. Ariel Sharon, he passed away the 28th of January 2014. That was for the Jew. Mm-hmm. And for us, he's
Miriam's been waiting to tell you this for a long time.
Yeah, to prepare us.
We need to hear from the others too.
Yeah, to prepare us is he's talking through Ephraim is www.ephraim.org, and it's in 79 different languages. You can go, and it's to prepare us, you know, of the coming of the Lord. Then praise the Lord.
I wasn't prepared for this, but I enjoyed myself. If any of you out there get the chance, save those dollars, put them in there, take the whole family, and go enjoy yourself. It was wonderful.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
And praise the Lord for the experience that He gave you. But I have to ask you this, not the ladies, all of you. Do you think you have to wait till next year's prayer conference to have a deep experience with the Lord Jesus Christ? I should say not. Look at this. How many, Judy, do you know how many people were up there?
He said it was the most ever. Yes, 250.
250? Let's see, I'm not.
He says 400. I could be wrong.
400. All right. Yeah. We could have a prayer conference right here in Lodi to have that many people, couldn't we? And it's wonderful to get up into the mountains away, but we don't have to wait for those times to connect with God. Well, let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your desire to meet with us, to work in our lives, to help us, to reveal yourself to us in ways that transform us into the people that you have created us to be. Please, by your Spirit, be with us today and speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I love used books. And I love it when I find something that opens up a new chapter of history to me. I love finding old Adventist books, all kinds of things. But I'm going to share with you one of my favorite finds that just brought all kinds of happy memories and associations to me. Any of you recognize this book? I'm not prepared to give them away, by the way. Just, I try to be a generous person, but I'm not prepared to give these away. But I have six extra ones. I need one for me. And I want to make sure that some of the kids here get to be introduced to this wonderful book. It's called Happy Songs for Boys and Girls. I don't think it ever made it to the New York Times bestsellers list, but I don't care. So, if you are a kid who would be willing to help me sing a couple of songs from here, and that would be a kid of any age, and it doesn't have to be just six of you, because you can share, I would invite you to come on up. Come on up here with me. Come on up. Come on up. Okay. There you go. I believe I know you from somewhere. All right. Just group yourselves up to... All right. And group yourselves up to share. Here, why don't you come around this microphone? They'll even be able to hear you. No, why don't you come over around... Oh, you know what? The microphone's going to come to you, sort of. That's about as far as we go. All right. Come around in here. Come around in here. And what is the deal? Did I say only girls could come? Well, look at this. No. Would it be okay if some boys came up?
Yeah.
Should we pressure the boys? Are there any boys who would be willing to come up? Not going to start naming names yet. Any boys of any, kids of any age? Yes. Makes me want to sing Only a Boy Named David. That's right. Any other boys? All right. Well, I'm delighted to have you here with me. All right. So, show you some of my favorite songs from this book. Could you please turn to song number 38? Number 38. And if you know it, you can join in. Okay? You got it? Number 38. See, they have the numbers right up here at your back. There you go. 38. Right over here. There you go. Right there. 38. Good. Okay, here we go. This one's called The Golden Morning. Such a happy song. The golden morning is fast approaching. Jesus soon will come to take his faithful and happy children to their promised home. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning piercing through this line of gloom. Oh, we see the The Golden Morning. How many of you know the song The Golden Morning? Do you remember it? Did you guys have this book when you were in school? I think it was in Youth Sings also. Do you remember that book? I don't remember. Is it in Christ in Song? The Golden Morning is fast. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Do you know what the Golden Morning is talking about? What is that Golden Morning? What's going to happen?
It's when Jesus returns again.
Spoken confidently and with power. Thank you. That's right. It's when Jesus will come again. So, you know, it wasn't fair to have you sing it when you didn't even hear it before. Do you think you could even sing it more now? Let's sing it again. One more time. First verse.
The golden morning is fast approaching. Jesus soon will
figure out what this song has in common with the other song, okay? And if you know it, sing it.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again.
This one's about Jesus coming. Now, I want to, out of all these songs in this book that are about Jesus coming, can you guess which one is my favorite? Oh, you are good. They got it before you did. Oh, see, we got another boy. You can come right on up. Don't miss, okay? You can be right up here. Thank you. Thank you. You have inspired another boy to come.
All right, so that's page 39, number 39. When he cometh, and I'm going to, shall we read page 1? We'll do that after church, if you remind me. Okay, so I've got the words up here for you kind members of the congregation. All right, so here we go. Yep, for this one. Yeah, they cheated. When he cometh, when he cometh, to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his soul. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown of morning, they shall shine.
Section of songs about Jesus coming. Why do you think that is? They love Jesus. Do you know what? Was that you that said that, Burton? Don't lie in church. Don't lie anywhere. That's right. I like that answer. I like that answer very much. You know, do you know what the meaning of the name Seventh-day Adventist is? Jesus' followers. That's right. Do you know what the Adventist part of it means? It means that we are a people so possessed with the blessed hope of the second coming of Jesus that we took it for our name. Can you believe that? We took it for our name. And I don't want to get all lectury and everything, but I'm disturbed that right up here in front of you is when our kids got introduced to these songs. That bugs me a little bit. But I think they took right to them, don't you? That makes me happy. And I want to see that happen more. Now, one thing I didn't ask them, but I'm going to ask you to think about it. Since the time that many of you and I, however many years ago that was for you, I know about how many it was for me, were singing these songs, has the nearness of Jesus coming gotten closer or further? It's gotten closer. Now, most of us here have or have had kids. And, let's see, birthday parties. The closer your kid gets to their birthday party, do they get more or less excited?
More
excited. Burton, you're just hitting them, hitting every one of them. The closer you get to the birthday party, the more excited you get about it. Now, Missy's, one of the signs that Missy is growing up is that she waits probably now at least 3 months after her birthday before she starts talking about her next birthday. Right, Missy? It used to be the day of. The day of the last birthday, she would start talking about the next birthday. And how many days is it until my next birthday? And of course, that's a good exercise in math and counting for me. As she comes to me each day, I try and have an answer for her. But the closer it gets, the more excited she gets. And the more she talks about it. And what are we going to do? And I'm sure that she's not the only kid who's something like that. The closer we get, the more excited we get. And yet what has happened with the coming of Jesus in our collective consciousness, in our collective excitement? You know, to be sure, in the roots of our Seventh-day Adventist movement, in the Millerite movement of 1844, and it started actually in the 1830s, expecting Jesus to come in 1844. It has been a few years, hasn't it? Last year, I believe it was, it would have had to have been the year before, that our church was celebrating the 150th year since the founding, officially, of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you can imagine, with a group that's founding and focus has been the second coming of Jesus, when we think of being around for 150 years, there's a celebration there, but there's also a what happened, right? Right? And I think that was reflected. I know the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Ted Wilson, I think his remarks when they were having the commemorations back, I think it was in Battle Creek, they were flavored with that mixture of God has been with us, has been carrying us forward for these 150 years, and yet our dearest hope has not come true yet. And so we are excited and happy and grateful and a little bit flavored with sadness at the same time, as we think about the blessed hope that is our founding core value as we focus on Jesus. And I want you to think about that, because now I'm talking to you who have grown up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and maybe some of you who were baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church later in life and have been in the Seventh-day Adventist Church a lot of years. But like Burton highlighted, as he shifted the focus right where it needs to be, sometimes we must confess we have shown more interest in the prophecies and in adding up numbers than we have in the very one we are looking for, which Burton said was Jesus. That the reason that we're called Adventists is because we what? We love Jesus. Man, you think back through your childhood of different times that you knew someone was coming. Boy, it depended on a lot how you felt about that, right? There's everything from, I saw a quote that was credited to Bob Hope, and I'm not going to quote it verbatim, but you'll get the idea, where he said, you know, Jesus is coming soon, and reflecting perhaps what some children have felt as they have been warned that their daddy's coming home, and they didn't clean their room. I've been there. And boy, is he, Bob Hope didn't use the word angry, but we'll just go with that. Ticked, that's getting closer. But anyway, so depending on your relationship with the person and how it's going right at that time, as you look forward to getting back together with them, you may have varying opinions. But I'll tell you this, if you love someone and you have a good relationship with them, and you haven't been physically with them for some time, and these days maybe you've Skyped with them, maybe you've communicated by email, but you haven't been physically with them for some time where you could give them a hug and get a hug back, you get more and more excited as the time comes, don't you? You talk about it more and more as the time comes. Your closest friends will be aware that this is something big on your agenda that moves you, that you're happy about, the closer and closer you get to that time coming. And Romans 13:11, going clear back past when there ever was a Seventh-day Adventist, through thousands and thousands of believers throughout the intervening years who have looked forward to this blessed hope of our Lord and Savior, the lover of our souls, Jesus, coming to receive us again. Back in Romans, Paul said to them in Romans 13, verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep." I'm sure he was referencing that parable that Jesus told about the bridesmaids. "For now our salvation is" what? "Nearer than when we first believed." Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you a self-evident truth. If your heart ever starts to tell you that this talk about the second coming is old-fashioned Christianity, old-fashioned Adventism, that we need to just kind of get over and focus on present issues, remember, it is a self-evident truth. You don't have to prove it, that the coming of Jesus is nearer now than it ever has been. You might have to demonstrate to someone from the prophecies of Scripture and from the happenings in the world around us that the coming of Jesus itself is a fact. But knowing that Jesus is coming, it is self-evident. It is nearer now than it ever has been. We need to look forward with anticipation. We need to, as Jesus said, to be always ready. Not just to get ready, but to be ready when Jesus comes. And we need to let our hearts think about it. We need to talk of it in our families, in our schools, in our prayer groups, in our neighborhoods, as God gives the opportunity to lovingly share what He has given us. We need to never forget that Jesus is coming soon. I want to thank the praise team for reminding us and awakening that love, that joy in our hearts through the songs. I want to look at a couple of passages. I don't have them on the screen. I want you to actually look them up. A couple of passages about the second coming. And see if you can see in them something that I see that I hope will take possession of our hearts today. John 14. Some of you might have this memorized. John 14, verses 1 through 3. And I always have to remind you, just because my heart says I have to, that John 14, verse 1 comes right after John 13, verse 38. The reason I want you to remind you that is you just review the last part of John chapter 13. John 13 begins with Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And the last part of it, if you have headings in your Bible, it says Jesus predicts Peter's denial. That's not very happy, is it? Jesus tells Peter that he is going to deny him 3 times. So, you know, don't you, that chapters and verses in the Bible got determined and set out as a matter of convenience. The story goes by a guy riding a donkey along a trail through Europe for days and days and days. That makes sense, doesn't it? Donkey's never going to go speeding on you. And he had the time, so he has his scriptures, and he thinks it would be much more convenient to be able to tell people by giving chapters and verses so that you can tell people, in a good sense, where to go. So here's how it goes. If there was no chapter division here, Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the roosters will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also..." Isn't that cool? "You are going to deny me 3 times. Let not your heart be troubled." Does that bring comfort to your heart like it does to mine? Jesus saying to Peter, "I know you're going to deny me. I know you're going to let me down. I know you're going to be a coward." And Peter thinks, of course, man, if he's telling the truth, I guess I have no future with him, right? Someone comes to you and they're telling you that you're going to betray them, that you're going to stab them in the back, and they know it. Do you expect the next words to be assurance? Now, to be sure, when you go between verse 38 and John 14, verse 1, it goes from a singular you, because in English, you is one of those words you can't tell if it's singular or plural, except by the context, to a plural you. So he turns to talk to the disciples along with Peter. Because really, Peter's the guy who will do things publicly. They all ran, so excuse me. They all needed to hear this. And he goes right to, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will..." What?
Come again.
And what is he excited about in that coming? "I will come again and destroy the wicked and devastate the earth so that I can make it all over new again." Is that what he's excited about? "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What excites Jesus about his own second coming? The reunion. To be with you. To have you with him. Physically. Literally. This is what excites Jesus about the second coming. That he gets to be in your presence. And you get to be physically in his presence. Actually seeing. You know, you've sung, you know, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face." You will. You've sung, "Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus." You will see Jesus with your own eyes, like that song Sandy Patty sings. We will see him as he is. She's quoting from 1 John because it says, "We will be like him, for we will see him as he is." We will see him as he is. And this is what excites Jesus about the second coming. Oh, I hate funerals, but I love the excuse to read this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This description that we use to describe the second coming, to give us hope as we are face to face with a grave. And we also use it, by the way, to demonstrate that and prove the fact that we will meet Jesus in the air, that he's not going to touch down on earth, but we will go up to him. But look what he says in this description. Verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Are you taking notes? Making an outline of this event as if you were the event planner, so that just in case the angels don't plan it right, you can make sure it's done right. "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God." So you got that. This is all simultaneous. "And the dead in Christ will rise first." Cue the dead in Christ. Rise first. Now. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." But this is the part that really matters. "Thus, we shall always be with the Lord." Jesus' dream comes true. "That where I am, there you may be also." Thus, we shall always be with the Lord. And it says, verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. It's about being with Him. It's about being in His presence. And you see the stuff that He makes happen. I mean, are we the ones who actually are going to orchestrate those trumpets and those shouts? No, that's Jesus expressing His excitement to see you. Isn't that cool? That's Jesus saying, I'm going to see my kids. We're going to be reunited and put this stuff behind us forever and just be able to be together forever. Play those trumpets. A little louder. A little louder. A little louder. Come on. Let's rattle this globe without breaking it. Okay? Jesus is excited to be coming. Angels, let's shout. Let's sing. Let's do everything. Because this is the reunion. This is the reunion. It's all about us being with Him. Him being with us. And throughout the New Testament, and even echoes into the Old, when you hear Job talking about, I know that my Redeemer lives and I will see Him at the last. You see songs in Isaiah where of the day of the Lord when God's people are saying, you know, all the Lord, You have established us, all that we have accomplished, You have done for us, just glorying in Him and what He has done on the day of the Lord. Glorying in Him and how He has brought us through, and glorying in Him. Oh, the great passage in Isaiah 25 and verse 9, it says, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. It's all about being in His presence. Well, I tell you what, another thing I've been hearing about in my house over and over again over the last weeks, and maybe some of you who have kids at the elementary school have heard about it too, is that they get to put on a program this spring, The Lion King. And different ones of them are going to play different parts, singing and doing acrobatics and showing it. There's a whole set of them that are playing Simba and everything. But you know what they're doing in the meantime? Do you know what they're doing? They are rehearsing. They are rehearsing. So I get to hear around our house, just, you can't predict when you're going to hear, I just can't wait to be king. You just hear it, and you're going to hear me roar, and all kinds of things like that. And I might have even caught my other child that's going to be a tree, maybe swaying in the breeze or something like that. But they have times when they're gathering together to rehearse for that day when they're actually going to present the program. Do you know what I believe? I believe that in a particular way in our worship services here, but for everyone of us, every day, is a rehearsal for that day. When someone's coming to visit you, pretty much how you feel about them now is how you're going to feel about them then when they arrive. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's relatives that have told you, hey, we're coming! Okay. We must get prepared. Mm-hmm. And there's other relatives that call and they go, hey, we're coming. And you go, we're getting ready starting right now. I don't know if you detect, there was a subtle difference between those responses that I portrayed. One calls and you go, okay, we'll prepare ourselves now. The other, you go, let's start getting ready now. Well, let me tell you, Bible calls Jesus our older brother. So He's our relative, right? And He said, hey, I'm coming. And we get now until however long it takes, and we see the signs around us pointing to the soonness, to the nearness of Jesus coming. We get now until then to practice. What does it mean to practice? As Alan talked about at our elders' retreat, a few weeks ago, we got to read together a book about worship, about being worshipers. about being people who love to be in the presence of our God and Savior. That starts right in your heart. Do you know that? That starts right in your heart when you wake up in the morning, as you spend your day, as your day unfolds. That starts right with you. That's not just about what do we do when we gather together in a situation that we call a worship service. Whether it's Sabbath morning or a small group fellowship where you worship or family worship, that starts in your heart and in my heart. Do we love to be in His presence? Do we enjoy the blessing of focusing on Him and knowing that as He promised, as our hearts are turned toward Him, His heart is turned towards us? And though we cannot see Him, He is here. Sometimes you sense that more tangibly and more powerfully. I tell you what, when those kids were playing their violins and Pam was on the piano and they were singing, that was so beautiful. And it made me feel like I was very tangibly in the presence of Jesus. You are the one that we love. You are the one we adore. What a wonderful thing to be in His presence. And it starts now. You don't have to wait till Jesus comes to be in His presence. You don't even have to wait till church next Sabbath to be in His presence. It starts now and can go with you every day. I urge you, wake up each day anticipating the coming of the Lord. Not just then, but now. Wake up each day welcoming the presence of the Lord. Because what has He said? On the one hand, talking about physically, He said to His disciples, I'm going to have to leave you. But on the other hand, He said, lo, I am what? With you always until the end of the world. And we know that's through His Spirit. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His presence is always accessible to you. And it is your privilege to, like Enoch, walk with Him day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, and to know that He is even with you through the night. It is your privilege to be with Him. So what I invite you to this morning is to make a renewed commitment to spend your days and your hours with Jesus. In anticipation of His physical second coming, to welcome His presence now. That's what it means to be a worshiper. Someone who enjoys His presence and honors Him and worships Him and throws yourself into His arms because He is God and He loves you and wants you in His family. Do you really think He wants you in His family? Oh yes, He does. No matter what anyone has told you, no matter what your own heart has told you, He wants you in His family. He enjoys your company. He wants you to enjoy His. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, we thank You that Your heart toward us is good, that You do not regret our birth or creation, but instead You celebrate each one of us. And it is Your deepest desire, just as You said to Your disciples, to be with us always, starting now. So, Father, I pray for each one of us, especially if there's someone here who can't imagine that You would want them to be in Your family, that You would want to be around them, that we can each see the proof that You have given in sending Jesus to be one of us, to give His life on the cross. The demonstration that You would go as far as it takes to make sure that when You come again, anyone who is willing, anyone who trusts You, will be able to be with You always from that day on. Oh, Father, we see different things in the way, our sins, our guilt, our habits, our problems. Oh, Father, let us now take them to You recognize as we do so, they are washed away, they are forgiven, and we are made new as we trust in you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. After the service, I ask an elder of the church to be in the front corners, each of the front corners of the church. If you want to talk to someone about making sure that you have that absolute confidence that when Jesus comes, you will be as happy to see him as he is to see you, they can share with you from Scripture so that you can know that you are accepted with him. Before we go, and as we go out, I want to sing this song together with you again. When he cometh, to make up his jewels.